Welcome to the Power of Attorney Project, which is part of our Conversations That Matter podcast. My name is Mary Bart, Chair of Caregiving Matters. This podcast is intended to provide general information only and is not intended to be a substitute for seeking personalized legal, financial, or other advice. This podcast raises issues that our audience can further explore on their own in their own local communities with their own local experts. This project will help to be a call to action for families to solve their issues, find solutions to their problems, and have greater peace of mind.
And our topic for today is how to choose a power of attorney or substitute decision maker. And to help us with this topic, I'm pleased to introduce Arthur Dolan, and he is with Dolan Estate Settlement Services Incorporated. Welcome, Arthur, and thank you for joining us on this project.
Thank you, Mary. I'm pleased that you've invited me to join you and look forward to our conversation.
Thank you. Now, share a little bit about your business of Dolan Estate Settlement Services.
Well, basically, we take care of settling the estate details after a person has passed away. But we do get involved with educating people prior to that point and the necessity of having a properly prepared and up-to-date will. And that includes powers of attorney for both health, personal care, and property financial affairs.
Thank you, Arthur, for that. Now, let's get started with our conversation. Are there different types of POAs?
Yes, there are basically two categories for personal power of attorney. And that is for personal care, which basically covers issues that affect either your health or your mental capacity. And when the authorities for acting on your behalf are transferred to someone other than yourself. You could be, for example, unconscious, such as when you're in an operation, or you could be declared mentally incapable for various reasons that diseases may affect you or other conditions. The important part is to make sure that you have discussed your desires with your power of attorney for personal care. The other power of attorney is for property, which means both real property such as your house as well as all your financial affairs. And again, this is very important that you have discussed the elements of that with your power of attorney that you assign to look after those affairs for you when you're not capable of it, but you are still alive, of course.
Okay, thank you for that. Now, how do you choose who should be your power of attorney?
Well, that's a process that maybe people we find have not given a lot of care for. It's traditionally just appointed one of your offspring or your partner who would act on your behalf. Not that that is a wrong process, but with today's life and technical aspects being more complicated than in previous generations, it's very important that one take into consideration some characteristics or qualities that they should look for in a power of attorney. One of the key elements, of course, is to make sure that the person you wish to act on your behalf is both available and willing to act as your power of attorney. So whoever you have in mind, you should ask them if they would like to have that job, because there is a fair bit of responsibility that goes with it, as well as the honor of acting on your behalf. The person should be reliable, should also be trustworthy. In other words, they will follow your wishes, not according to how they see what should be done or could be done, but how you really would respond and act according to what you would do. Um, It's also important to be communicative because usually there's other family members who will be affected by these decisions, and so it's important to keep them abreast of the progress or change in situations. When it comes to your health, medical, personal care, power of attorney, the person should be fairly empathetic. That is, that they can understand how you would feel and want the decision to be made. So that is another aspect that's important. And finally, choose a power of attorney who is relatively nearby. You don't want to pick somebody who's more than likely out of the country or lives out of the country or lives in another province because of the distances of our country, Canada. So it's very important that they are able to be local and act locally for you so that they can best respond to the demands placed on them at that particular time. So that's basically, it covers the five or six categories that one should look, or qualities that one should look for in a power of attorney.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, you've shared with us that there's two types, one for care and one for property. So my next question for you is, would you have the same person doing both jobs or have separate people doing the two jobs?
Well, it's entirely possible to have the same person do both jobs. And often people, as we get older, there may only be one person that fits the description of a power of attorney for your needs. But it's very important to make sure that they can act according to your wishes and not necessarily going in a direction that might be counter to your own beliefs and desires. Let me sort of put this into a context of a person meets the criteria and is in sync with your beliefs, then they would be the ideal person to select for your power of attorney for personal care. As an example, my sister, though she's younger than me and liable to outlive me, of course, was brought up with the same beliefs as myself, and we still share most of those beliefs regarding life, medical care, and death. We have discussed those beliefs and the desires and that I have under specific conditions, and I'm confident that she will act accordingly to my choices. So therefore, I would choose her to be my power of attorney for personal care. Alternatively, it could be your spouse as well who could do the same thing. And you can have two people named at the same time that when one can take over from the other if for various reasons the first named power of attorney is not able to act, then the secondary can step in to act. And that's best to be set out with the help of a lawyer to make sure it's properly phrased in a legal document. Another example that you may consider when you're looking at how you choose somebody is, I had a client who had a brother who was an accountant, and obviously that brother was the obvious choice for being his power of attorney for property. However, when it comes to the health and medical care, they had different beliefs in their lives, and my client needed someone who could act according to his wishes and his beliefs. His brother had joined a religious group which would not allow the same choices, so it was better to name his doctor as the power of attorney for his personal care, so to ensure that his choices regarding the medical elements would definitely fit his desires.
That's very interesting on that. Another question for you. What kind of issues do you see in your business?
Most are very straightforward and uncomplicated, Mary, but periodically one encounters sibling rivalry and or at the same time greed can enter the picture. Then this can lead to family distress and dissension. In many cases, nobody's named as a power of attorney, and this can also lead to complications, including having to apply to the Attorney General for appointment as power of attorney. And this process takes time, and if contested, can become a very expensive process.
And not only, I'm guessing, is it expensive, but the stress within families just must be out of this world. You know, people go through their lives, and these issues can tear families apart, and that's what's so sad. And part of what we're trying to do with this project is to educate people so that they do get these documents and they do talk to their families, because nobody ever wants to go to court, and you sure don't ever want to go to court against a sibling or a family member.
That's very true, Mary. Unfortunately, we are seeing a growth in the litigation rates going on regarding estates, and of course, this can create huge family dissension, many of which means that you no longer have a family unity or family united in the traditional sense. So this can create a lot of problems down the road as well.
Absolutely. Now, where can people go to learn more about this topic?
Well, there's a lot of resources available to people to be able to learn more about the power of attorney. And some of them would include such as following the Power of Attorney podcast that you're preparing, and that will be available through Caregiving Matters. Others are other online resources, could be through the Council on Aging, or there's a community outreach services for seniors in different communities. So those will have various resources available to lead people to get the information. The Ontario government websites will also be able to give you some information and general advice. But I really do recommend that people talk to their lawyers. It's very important that you have your will up to date and properly prepared. And the reason I'm saying properly prepared is because if there are any questions, they usually are questions that rely on legal interpretation, and we lay people are not equipped to be able to properly phrase those that the law societies of the different provinces have come to agree on certain terminology and ways of presenting information. So therefore, your lawyer is extremely an important partner in this preparation, and I highly recommend that you follow that procedure. Just a quick aside on that also. Lawyers, people think that it's an expensive process. It probably is not. Look at your overall estate, which means everything you own, from your house to your various toys, such as your car or snowmobile or other items. And when you add it all up, the cost of a lawyer is a relatively small amount in that overall picture. So it's better to have a lawyer prepare the details according to what you want to have done.
I'm so glad you mentioned the part about going to a lawyer, because, you know, they are the experts, and they will be experienced to understand situations and recommend ideas that perhaps lay people would have never even thought of. So they will give and share their wisdom. And one person said to me, actually, well, I can't afford a lawyer to do my will. and my power of attorney. And I looked at them and I said, you can't afford that? Well, then you've got to find the money somewhere. They're not that expensive, and it will save your family years of grief unless you have proper documentation. It's absolutely critical. And so you know what? That person went and got a part-time job, a very short job, but just enough so that they could get in to meet the lawyer, get the documents done, and get things figured out. And so at first, the lawyer was an obstacle from a financial perspective, and it really doesn't cost much money to have it done well. And then I got a phone call from that person, and they said, you know what, Mary, thank you so much for encouraging me to go and get this done. Now I do have greater peace of mind. And money was tight, but they made it happen. And so you know what? It can't be the reason why we don't get these documents done. Absolutely, it is so important for our lives and for our families. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that part.
Just to add to that, and when it comes to cost, and there are people who cannot afford a lawyer, it doesn't hurt to talk with the lawyer about what you might be able to afford. Some can lower their rates because they can pick up the differences elsewhere. They make enough and in that respect. I'm not saying that lawyers are rich, but it's just that they may have some flexibilities. And the other area that people may very well consider, particularly in the large metropolitan areas such as Toronto and Ottawa and other big cities across the country, where there is a law school, the law schools have a clinic for seniors, and those can be very helpful to you as well as helping you prepare the documentation you would need. And they do it within a value of whether you can afford something or not.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a great point. And the lawyers that I have talked to about this, I think they bring great integrity and great compassion for their clients. And I think that they will do the best to prepare the documents. And so going to a lawyer has got to be a top priority in everybody's life. I'd like to thank you, Arthur, for joining us on this project. Your insights about how to choose a power of attorney, I think, are very important and will help people to say, you know what, I actually have never thought of this topic. I better sit down, think about it, and your comments will lead them in the direction to start to take some positive action around these very important documents. Arthur, could you share your contact information with our audience, please?
Yes, if you wish to reach me, I'm open to just freely giving information, you can contact me at dolaness, that's D-O-L-A-N-E-S-S, at kos.net. Or alternatively, you can phone me at area code 613-770-5911.
Thank you, Arthur, for that.
Mary, who are our initial project supporters?
We wish to acknowledge that this project is funded in part by the Government of Canada's New Horizons for Seniors program. Our other initial supporters include Care Connect, The Care Guide, the Healing Cycle Foundation, and Scotia Trust. Caregiving Matters is an internet-based registered Canadian charity dedicated to educating and supporting family caregivers. 90% of our work is done online and by leveraging technologies. 10% is done by producing local educational events. We leverage technologies in everything that we do, ensuring greater reach and sustainability. I trust that we have given you some of the highlights of our exciting new initiative. If you are interested in speaking with me about the project, please let me know. We look forward to your questions and your ideas.
Mary, if listeners have questions, what's the best way for them to contact us?
Well, they can contact me, Mary Bart, Chair of Caregiving Matters. My email is mary@caregivingmatters.ca. Our telephone number is 905-939-2931. And our website is www.caregivingmatters.ca.